not only for you to be a part of, but also a great series for you to invite someone to. You know, we talk about this a lot here at Bethel. One of the greatest ways to reach our community is through every single one of us, you and I, that we take the opportunities that God gives us, whether it's with our neighbors, whether we're standing in line at a grocery store, or just any open door that you may find, whether it's at work, that you actually invite people to church. People will come. It's strange. But did you know that people will come if you invite them? But a lot of the times, we don't take those opportunities. I have missed opportunities to invite someone to church. But here in the month of August and September, this is an opportunity for you to invite your friends and your family, because God's going to do something great through these next two series that we're going to be a part of, especially here at Beth, here in We Are Family, the series We Are Family. Because really what we're going to be talking about here in this series is why church? Why do we come to church? Why do we get involved in church? What is the big deal about coming together on a Sunday morning and really throughout the week? What's the big deal about serving? What's the big deal about giving? Why did God have this thing or this institution called the local church? Why can't we just do it by ourselves? Why can't we just stay home and watch our favorite TV preacher? But there's something, as we're going to discover, there's something supernatural that happens as you and I come together as followers of Jesus. There is a reason why that we gather on a Sunday morning or throughout the week. And we're going to find that really throughout this series. Acts chapter 2. Let's start there. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read verses 42 through 47. We're going to be looking at here really how the New Testament church began to function as a body of believers. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, meaning the teaching of the word and fellowship, being together, to the breaking of bread and to prayers, meaning they were spending time together as a family. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They were happy about being together, praising God and having favor with all the people. Something special was going on as they came together. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Father, we love you. We thank you for this series. We thank you for bringing us here. Lord, there is a reason why we're gathered here today. But I pray you would simply minister through me to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, really what we find out here in the book of Acts, if you read the entire book, in fact, as you're reading the New Testament, you really discover this, that you find really a people that have been called out of darkness and really out of loneliness and called into the light. And this is something that we can't miss. Not only are they called into the light or called into being in a relationship with Jesus, but they're also being called into other relationships. Relationships with one another. When I got right with Jesus over 18 years ago, in fact, April 14th of 2000, 18 years ago, I gave my life over to Jesus Christ. This Thursday, I turned 40 years old. Oh, Lord, help me. That's not my spiritual birthday, my natural one, Pastor Richard. 40, the big 4-0, I turned this Thursday. You know, as I think about all that God has done in my life, and I think about I was 22 when I gave my life over to Jesus Christ, and what I began to realize when I gave my life to Christ is that salvation is not merely a personal relationship that I have with Christ that simply allows me to go to heaven. Well, that's good news. I do want to go to heaven. But it is also a communal relationship that God has called me to, that I'm called to, yes, walk with Jesus, but I'm also called to walk with a body of believers. And what we're going to see today, and what we really see through Scripture, is that God adds every believer to a body or to a church. But the hard part of that, because that sounds good, But the hard part of that is the church is made up of people. And I don't know about you, but people oftentimes can do what? Drive you insane, can't they? People can get on your nerves. People can make you go crazy. And if I was honest with you today, Bethel Community Church, I got born again in Murfreesboro as a college student. The church there is named Bethel as well. We're sister churches. I would have never chosen Bethel to be the church that God would have added me to. If God would have came to me and said, Lance, what church do you want to be a part of? Bethel would not have been the church that I would have chosen. First off, they were meeting at a gymnasium. They met at a gym. The music was way too loud. I wasn't used to music like that. The only time I went to church was when my parents sometimes took me, and the churches that I went to didn't play loud music. In fact, they sung out of a book. They used to hold a book called a hymnal. They sung songs, and there was only one instrument, and that was a what? The keys. That's it. And when I came to Bethel, man, there was drums, there were guitars, keys, and it was loud, especially in a gymnasium. Because if you ever know anything about a gymnasium, what? The sound bounces off the walls. So not only was it loud, it sounded awful because it was in a gymnasium. And also I began to see that these people were way too happy. People were way too excited at being at church. They were smiling. They were clapping their hands. Some of them had their hands lifted. That was very odd to me. I didn't grow up going to a church like that. The children's ministry was terrible, if you can imagine, in a gymnasium. What kind of children's ministry can you provide? Not very good. Every Sunday, the pastor would get up, and he would repeat half his sermon that he spoke the week before. I mean, how annoying is that? There was no time limit on how long church could be. It was hours upon hours. I mean, we're nice to you here. We go about an hour or hour and 10 max. But church felt like it went on for hours. People were shaking my hand. People were greeting me. People were asking me to even go to church, what I thought, go to church, outside of just Sunday morning. They were inviting me to these things they called groups. I'm thinking, isn't this enough on Sunday morning? Why do I have to attend something throughout the week? I see you people enough once a week. They wanted me to serve. They wanted me to give. I mean, I thought I had walked into a cult. This cannot be the church of Jesus because people are way too happy, smiling too much, and having too much fun. There's no way that this can be the church. But see, the problem was, is that I was not thinking biblically about what a local church is supposed to be. I have my own views, my own ways of how I saw church. But what I began to discover is they had nothing to do with the way this word, how it communicates, what it communicates of what church is about. Think about how ridiculous my thinking was. Think about how prideful I was in my thinking. See, I carried this mindset that, you know what, God, you just kind of showed up on the scene. I've been living 22 years by myself, and now you've just shown up. I know what's best for my life. Even though my life was a wreck, even though I was miserable, somehow I had this thought that, Lord, I know what's best for me. I know what's best when it comes to what you've called me to. I know what's best when it comes to the spiritual growth in my life. I know what's best when it concerns what kind of relationships I need to have. I mean, how prideful is that? The God of the universe, he had this plan for me. But yet, my mindset was, God, I can figure this out by myself. I don't need you, and I don't need this thing called the church. Lord, let me choose. But what I began to discover is that my thinking was not biblical. As I began to read scripture, as I began to hear preaching just like this, I began to see that it is God who sets every believer into family. I don't really get a choice. If I humble myself And if I listen to His voice, then He is the one that actually directs me to the place that He's called me to be a part of. Let's look here. Let's look at this in Scripture. Psalm 68 tells us in verse 6. He says, God sets, or God adds. That's divine placement. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious, this was me, the selfish, the prideful, live in a sun-scorched land. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 14, 18, and 27. It says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them. Wow. As he chooses. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Ephesians chapter 2. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you, he's talking to you and I, are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That simply means that built on the foundation means the teaching of Scripture that these great men were teaching. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together. You're going to see this over and over and over again. This word fit, join, or added grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. 1 Peter 2, but you are a chosen race. That simply means that all nations, God is making one new man from the two. All nations he's bringing together. He's calling us a chosen race, meaning ethnos. No matter what ethnicity you come from, we're being all made into one new person. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you and I may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people. Man, I remember not having a people to walk with. I was not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. As I begin to read these scriptures, humility began to arise on the inside of me. And I begin to say to myself, God, you are adding me. There's a divine placement that you have for me. So I begin to ask the question, God, where do you want me to get plugged into? What family am I called to be a part of? And I begin to see that I don't have a choice. It's very similar to the natural parents that I come from. Before I was ever born into this world, God did not parade a bunch of people in front of me and say, hey, Lance, now I want you to choose who your mom and dad is going to be. Now, I love my mom and dad, but I wouldn't have chosen them. I would have chose a mixture for my dad, Sean Connery, Denzel Washington, and Tiger Woods. That would have been my dad. My mom would have been Julia Andrews, Halle Berry, and Celine Dion. I mean, that would have been my mom. But I didn't have a choice. And no matter who our parents are, whether good or bad, what God uses every situation and every circumstance that we come from for His good. But the same goes with our spiritual family. See, the fact of the matter is, and this is what I had to embrace, and I know it's difficult, but I did not get a choice. If I was listening correctly, the Holy Spirit was actually leading me to a people because His divine placement is real for my life. God has designed a people for you. He knows your personality. He knows your weirdness, your quirks, how quirky you are. He knows your destiny. He knows exactly where you need to fit to fulfill His mission in your life. He sets you into family. See, as you walk with God, you walk with a family that He's called you to. He's not only called you to Himself, but He's called you to a people. And the people that I discovered that God had called me to walk with was this church called Bethel. Now, it's kind of simple when you get born again in the place that that's obvious. This is where you belong. But it's not as obvious maybe if you've come, you've moved to Clarksville, you've come to Fort Campbell, maybe you've lived here all your life, maybe you've been added to other churches before, And so sometimes, yes, God does, in a sense, restack the deck. He moves you around. Therefore, you have to begin to say, okay, God, here I am in this new city, or maybe it's a new season in your life. And maybe it's coming from another church. And God, where is the place that you have for me? And when it comes to Bethel, here at Bethel, we call ourselves a spiritual family or a church family. Jesus himself knew the power of spiritual family. One day he was sitting around and somebody came to him and he said, Jesus, your brother, your sister, your mother, they're looking for you. You know what Jesus did? He looked around, the Bible says, as at the disciples that were sitting with him. And he said, here's my brother. Here's my sister. Here's my mother. What was Jesus doing in this moment? He was defining for you and I what spiritual family is supposed to be. Jesus knew that to fulfill the destiny or the calling that his Father had on him, it could not just be done with his natural family. That it took the spiritual family that God had called him to walk with. See, Jesus was defining for us what spiritual family is. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 2. He says that God fits, God connects, God places you and I in family. And what I'm really believing, and Pastor Richard and I, as we talk throughout this series, we are family. We're believing that there will be a conviction that would come, that you will begin to think biblically about church and also biblically about relationships. And that there is not already a conviction in you of where God has placed you, that one would come. And my hope would be, obviously, that you would discover that Bethel is the place for you. We have individuals right now. We got about 20 people over in Starting Point. See, Starting Point is the place where people begin to discover, is this the place that God has called me to be a part of? That cannot just be discovered, friends, just coming on a Sunday morning. See, you have to take a step to find out more. This is why we have things called First Step, where you meet Pastor Richard and I. Then we have Starting Point. We have here in a minute what Pastor Richard's going to come talk to you about, our community groups. Groups do not just, they don't just meet on Sunday, they meet all throughout the week. These are steps where you can begin to engage and you can begin to discover, is this the place that God has for me? Because what begins to happen is what I like to call heart knitting. A heart knitting begins to take place where the vision and the values that are in you begins to be knit together with the vision and the values that God has here right at Bethel. But this is how we discover this. But here's what happens. Oftentimes, we ask the wrong questions when it comes to finding our family. We begin to ask questions or think things that we see on the outside. And I understand most of us in this room have families. A lot of us have children. And so we look things to meet certain needs that we have in our life, don't we? We do. We come into the service. What's the pastor? What's he like? Is he weird? Is he engaging? Does he say too many religious things? Does he talk in a way I can understand? What's the pastor like? What's the preaching like? We listen to the music. What's the music like? Is it what I'm used to? Do I like the music? If we have kids, obviously we're thinking, what? What's the children's ministry like? But see, all those things are on the outside. But if we're going to think biblically, if we're going to ask the kind of questions that we need to be asking, their questions are a little bit different. These questions need to be, how do they view God? That's an important question. It's more important than the sound of the music, friends. How do they view God? How do they see Jesus? That's a very important question. Is Jesus just another person or is he God in the flesh? You need to find that out. That's important. What do they believe God has called them to as a church? What do they expect of members? That's important to find out. What can I expect from the pastor? What is their mission in the community and in the world? These are all biblical questions. But again, I understand I have a family. I like to feel comfortable. That's why we got comfortable seats for you. We want you to be comfortable. Those are nice seats. Those seats cost $70 per seat. That's a lot of money. Look around. Look at all the seats. But we want you to be comfortable. We want you to enjoy our children's ministry. We want to do the best that we can with the resources that God has given us to make this place excellent. But yet, we're not here to waste money at Bethel. Because at the end of the day, we want to focus you on the right things. And the right thing is not always the glitz and the glamour. What's the building look like? What's the parking look like? Again, we're doing the best that we can. But at the end of the day, you have to ask, how do they see Jesus? What's their mission? What do they want to connect me to? How do they want to help me grow in my relationship with Jesus? Those are the things, friends, that are important when it comes to being a part of a local church. Those are the things. But oftentimes, again, because we're not thinking biblically, we begin to ask the wrong questions. And see, what happens, and I am subject to this as well, and I'm the pastor of the church, but I'm talking to myself this morning, because many times what church can become is, how does this church serve me? And not, how do I serve the mission and the vision of the church? And so what happens, and again, I'm subject to this, and this has happened to me, we kind of embrace what we call a country club mentality. And that country club mentality is this: I pay my dues, what's the perk of being here at this church? See, that mindset has to be changed in us as followers of Jesus. And it has to happen more than just once. It has to happen on a consistent basis. That we begin to get rid of this mindset of, how does it serve me? Pastor Lance, how do you serve me? Well, let me tell you how I serve you. I preach, number one, the truth of this scripture, whether you like it or not. And I say things that are uncomfortable to say and uncomfortable to hear. But what you have to understand is, I don't report to you. There's going to come a day that I stand before Jesus and he's going to ask me, Lance, and he's not going to call me Pastor Lance. He's probably going to say, son, did you preach? Did you talk about the truths of Scripture? Or did you allow immorality to rule and reign in the church that you are part of? Did you allow these things that are going on, and you know what they are, what marriage is and what marriage is not, don't get me started on it. Did you stand up against it and say something? He's not going to ask me, did you make those people at Bethel feel good? Did you give them candy at the door? Man, did you pat them on their booties and tell them they're lovely? He's not going to ask me that. He's going to say, did you kick their butts when they got out of line? Now, of course, we do it again. If you're a guest here, look, we're nice. It's actually difficult for me to begin to say things because, like, I want to be liked. Pastor Richard doesn't care, but I do. I like for you to like me. But I want Jesus to like me more than you. And so we're doing the best that we can to hold up these biblical truths because we are the last line of defense. Now, I'm just not talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. We are the last line of defense when it comes to the truth of Scripture. And so whether we have 1,000 people at this church or 10, I'm not responsible for building the church. Jesus says, I will build the church. My responsibility is to help you follow him. It's called making disciples. That's my responsibility. That's our responsibility. So this country club mentality, all of us have to be delivered from it. See, it shouldn't be, we should serve, we should be servants instead of being served. It shouldn't be I have rights, it should be no, I have responsibilities. I'm not entitled to anything, I make sacrifices. So Pastor Lance, what are the perks at being at Bethel? Well, the perks are, yes, you're going to be loved on, but you're going to be held accountable, and you're going to be cared for. The perks are, I hate to tell you, is you're going to have to take up your cross every day and die to yourself to follow Jesus. The perks are, it's not easy. It's not easy to be a spiritual family. It's not easy to walk together, especially what we're trying to build. bringing nations, ethnicities together. This is really not easy, let me tell you. Different cultural backgrounds. You guys like different styles of music. And we're trying by the Spirit of God to make one new man from the two. This is very difficult, especially the world that we live in today. Hate, racism, and bigotry. We're pulling all of that down in the name of Jesus. And we're seeing Jesus bring us together as a spiritual family. So guess what? For that to happen, sacrifices have to be made. You may not like the music, but you may feel the Spirit of God. God is calling me to be a part of this church. Well, maybe you don't like the music, but maybe you can sing. Well, get your tail up here and help us. Serve. Use your gift. Lay down your life. We're being one new man. God is joining us, fitting us together. But you are going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to have to give. We're going to be talking throughout this series about giving your hard-earned dollars. Because it's the way the mission of God moves forward. We are doing the best that we can to be the best stewards of the resources God has given us. Some people will ask me, Pastor Lance, why don't we do this to our building? Why don't we do that? Number one, I will say, because that just costs too much money. Why do I want to spend $80,000 to $100,000 putting a front on this building when it can be used doing something else that's going to reach somebody? Why don't we use the resources? Because they're not a lot, let me tell you. There's no millionaires at Bethel. If there are, come talk to me. Go invite some. Help a brother. I'm glad you guys like me playing around with you guys. But it's going to require us to give, to make sacrifices. Pastor Lance, you know what, this whole 10% thing? Well, maybe you can't be at 10%. Well, start somewhere. Start with five, start with two, but start with something. Be faithful to God with that and watch what He does in your life. Pastor Richard, come on up here so I'll shut up. Perks, where am I at? I have no clue where I'm at. Looking at my paper, trying to scroll here. But He places us. He adds us into family. And my hope would be today that not that you would just attend here, but you really would engage in the life of this church. You know, really, church attendance all around the United States is going down, big time. Going down. And we want you to not just attend, because you can come and you can go, but we really want you to engage. Jesse, come on up here. We want you to engage in the life of our church. And the way you do that is simply by taking steps. Again, Pastor Richard and I, we do this thing called First Step. It's in the Global Cafe right after service. If you're a guest here today, we'd love just to take a couple of minutes just to greet you. See, let me give you a little secret while we're doing that. We're really just trying to tear down walls in your life. Tear down walls, because I know stepping into a new place can be odd and difficult. It can be weird. Never been here. People, you know, just don't know anybody. So Pastor Richard and I, we want to meet you just to say hi, hello, answer any question that you have. Kind of tears down a wall. But then we're going to invite you to take a step. Pastor Richard is going to talk about it here in a minute, called Starting Point. If you've never been to Starting Point, this is really your first step. And then also what we have called Community Groups. You know, you guys received one of these when you walked through the doors. Ushers, if you can help me. If you did not get one of these, Ms. Donna, can you help? Everybody needs one of these. Pastor Richard, hold up the other one there. Ms. Donna can help with both of those. Everybody needs one of these and one of those. These and those, both of these. This is just a simple little thing. Again, we're not asking, it says sign and date. We're not asking you to do that at the bottom, but it's just really a pledge that we're going to have different things that we're going to be talking about these next couple of weeks. And this first pledge here really is about being added or being connected to the local church that God has called you to be a part of. I'm going to read it here. It says, I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. We talked about that. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12, the verses we read. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Because I'm a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member. That's a key word for us. Functioning member. I will attend. I will serve. I will grow. I will give. And I will go. I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Why? Because we're a family. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Father, we love you.